like to invite you tonight over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 reads this way. It says, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight asking for your blessing on your word, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that you would guide our hearts and minds into your ways, into your paths, and that we would not lean to our own understanding, but Lord, that we would look to you for guidance and wisdom and the purpose of life, Lord, that we would not look to the world or even our own thinking, but Lord, to what you've told us and what you've given to us through salvation, and then of course, Lord, in this physical life, that you've placed us in your church, and Lord, desire to glorify yourself in and through us. So guide us, give us understanding, Lord, tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Exceeding Greatness. Exceeding Greatness. And we're just going to look at two thoughts, and that is what God wants to give us, and secondly, what God wants to do for us. And these are two, I think, important thoughts as we consider our text tonight. But I want to just stop and consider the title just for a moment that's found there in verse 19, Exceeding Greatness. And of course, it's his power that's exceeding greatness, that beginning with salvation. I mean, stop and think about his greatness that exceeds all expectations, that grants to you and I eternal life. That's where it all begins. But the word exceeding, I just want to zero in on just for a few moments here. And that has the idea of going beyond the limit. Going beyond the limit. If you've ever been pulled over for speeding, they tell you, excuse me, do you know that you were exceeding the limit, the speed limit? And that meant we went beyond. So if it was 35 miles an hour, we were above 35 miles an hour. Now that's negative, right? That's not a good thing. That doesn't make us happy. But praise God that he exceeds our expectations. He goes beyond what we can ever hope for or dream or even think about. He goes beyond even what we can imagine, the Bible tells us. And so that's important. And God wants to reveal that to us. It's one thing to hear it in our ears. It's a different thing to experience it in our lives. And God's the one that brings us to it. So he has exceeding greatness. This is God. He is exceeding greatness. And so God wants us to exceed in the greatness of his power. You ever stop to think and ask yourself, well, why is that? Why would God want us to exceed in the greatness of his power? We'll look at that tonight, but just hold your place right here if you'd like, and I'm going to read this to you here, but go over to the book of Ecclesiastes, and this is right after the book of Proverbs, but you have Ecclesiastes chapter 12, which is the last chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want to zero in really on verse 13, but just for a moment, I want to look at verse 7. It says this, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. And then he came to this conclusion in verse 8, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And this is Solomon after he dabbled in everything that you could dabble into. I mean, he had the wealth to have, I mean, he had monkeys and peacocks, and he had gold and silver, and he had all these wonderful things that the world could offer that God didn't say was wrong, but he put those in front of the Lord and it misled him, and he gave himself over to a lot of women and that misled him. And he says, you know, at the end of it all, it was all vanity. It was for nothing. It had no real weight. It didn't really satisfy me. And he says it in different ways throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. But here's what I want to zero in on when we consider why should we be concerned about God wanting to wants us to exceed in the greatness of his power. Why would that be important to us? Well, look at verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us just wrap it all up in this thought. Fear God and keep his commandments. Listen, for this is the whole duty of man, of mankind. It's the whole duty. This is the whole purpose. And that is to glorify the Lord, to fear the Lord, and to keep his commandments. And God has provided a way for us to do that. He does not want us to do that in our own strength. So many truths God reveals to us, and more so in the New Testament, but he does also reveal them in the Old Testament, that it's not by our power or by our strength, but by the hand of the Lord
that deliverance comes into the life of those who believe and trust him. And then he says this in verse 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, "For God shall bring every work into judgment." Notice, "with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And the truth is, the Bible tells us, God's word tells us, that our righteousness are as filthy rags, and it won't wash, it won't stand, and it won't be good for us. It won't bring glory to the Lord, and it won't bring rest to our souls. And so God says, that's why I've given you my power. That's why you've been indwelt with the Holy Spirit, so you can have my power, and then you will be in awe of the power of God, even to an expanded degree that the awe that you experienced when you got saved. And that should be a life-changing experience that you had with the Lord. And I say that with you personally with the Lord, because everybody's experience is a little bit different. But you should have an experience with the Lord where you realize that your sins separated you. And that is a reality that brings awe and just a multitude of feelings in a brief moment of that reality, and that we're guilty, or at least I saw that I was guilty personally, but I had already heard that he was the way. So it all came to a conclusion. I need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I trusted him, he saved me and gave me eternal life. So it was like just a short moment. I'm condemned. Jesus saved me, and he came in and saved me. And it was an experience I will never forget. Nothing that I heard, nothing that I saw physically, but he quickened my spirit, and I was born again. And so that is an experience. Just as you have physical birth, you have a spiritual birth, and that's where the difference begins. And so God wants it to continue, and I want to just spend a few moments here considering what God wants to give us. Look at verse 15 just for a moment. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith," so salvation has already taken place in the Lord Jesus, and "love to all the saints," and this is the natural thing. We care about the people of God because we're in the same family. And that's noticed shortly after salvation. And then he says this, "cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Paul was saying, man, I'm just blessed to know about your relationship in the Lord. And this is what God wants to give us, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Is this something that God wants to give us? He's saying that God may give this unto you. Well, what is that? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what God wants us to have, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what brings us to another level in our relationship with the Lord. This is what takes the Word of God beyond a textbook, because it brings us an understanding that we can, by faith now, okay, Lord, you are wanting to give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so I'm going to hold you to it now. Go ahead and point me in that direction, Lord, because see, we can't do it ourselves and we can't guide ourselves. So the very first step is to realize that we need God to give this to us and to bring us into that. And so God says, okay, now you're on the right path. Now you're on the right track. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to bring you to another experience or another revelation of who I am and want to be in your life. And so notice this, he wants to give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And then he continues on, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's not just words on a page. That's an experience that God wants to do for us, right? How do I say that? Well, when Peter was asked by the Lord to go fishing, after, you know, first he said, I need to preach. I want to get in your boat. Just go out a little bit into the water. He preached. And then now he asks Peter to go out into the deep. And I want you to let down your nets, plural, for a great haul. And you know the story. The Lord asks Peter to do that. And Peter says, oh, Lord, we fished all night. We haven't caught a thing. But since you've asked, I'm going to let down one net. And you know the story. See, This is the difficulty. God wanting us not to lean to our own understanding, how we feel, what we think, what we've experienced. If that's all we're holding to, we never go beyond that into what God wants to reveal to us. See, that's where we have to humbly approach the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I trust that you know more than I do. How much more does God know than we do? He knows infinitely more than you and I can ever think. Do you think Peter looked back on that experience maybe once or twice in his lifetime? In fact, many times. And then we have Peter denying the Lord, and then the Lord telling him to come on, I'm not done with you. So many things that Peter could have looked back on. But we, you know, each and every one of us have to go through that experience with the Lord, because it's a breaking of ourself. It's a breaking of the, listen, whatever the Lord blesses, he breaks, because it's got to be taken out of its natural realm. When the boy had the five loaves and the two fishes, what did the Lord do with it? He blessed and what? Broke it before it was going to be multiplied. And so before we could, God's blessed us with salvation, but we have to be broken from our pattern or our way of thinking, or we're never brought into this experience that God wants every believer to have. And notice how it moves on here in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. God wants to do this for us, right? This is what God wants to do. We've already seen what God wants to give us, this revelation and this understanding, but now this knowledge of him, but now this is what he wants to do for us. That your eyes of your understanding, did you see that? They're not physical eyes, but it's the eyes of your understanding. It goes beyond physical. It's into the spiritual of your understanding. Being enlightened. Why? Listen, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the change? What is the power of God? This is beyond salvation. These people are saved. But he's saying, I'm wanting to take you to another level. There are many people that don't go beyond their salvation. They love the Lord. Maybe they attend church. Maybe they become a member of a church and so forth. But they don't really go beyond, because it requires faith. It requires trusting God when it doesn't make sense to me, because God is perfect. I've got to come to that conclusion that you know what? I can believe God even though I can't see the other side. When he told Abraham to go, I'm going to take you to a country that you've never seen before. Do you think he gave Abraham a map? Do you think he told him everything that was going to take place before it took place? Or he just revealed things to him along the way? Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he doesn't change. So he says that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Listen to this. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance, where? In the saints. In the saints. You and I are saints. And not by the definition that the world thinks a saint is. Saints are not perfect. Saints are not to be prayed to. You'll not find that in the Bible. Saints are just human beings that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So the world makes an interpretation. We say, well, I'm not a saint. I'm not perfect. The Bible doesn't say that saints are perfect ever. But that God saved them, right? So as a saint of God, do you want everything God has promised? That's an important question, because it has to go from there. So he says, I want you to know that you're going to be given this understanding, and I want you to enter into the riches of the glory, listen to what the Bible says there in verse 18 at the bottom, of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness, remember, beyond the limit, God's greatness of his power to usward. That's important. Listen, here's the question tonight. Are you experiencing and are you understanding and are you being enlightened concerning the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Because if you are, you're seeing the value of what God is saying, and all of a sudden the things of this world become strangely, the lure of the world. We're still taking care of the responsibilities and the obligations of the world, but we're looking to something else now that has greater value than the things that are temporal and passing away. People say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're consumed by the world. They're so given to, I'm talking about believers, people who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's no understanding of the value, because now all of a sudden, as Paul said, and what he wants really, and what Jesus wants for all believers, is for Christ to be our life. So how do you know? How do you know when God, when you're experiencing those revelations? You're no longer looking to the things of this life that are weighing us down. We're just passing through. You've got your sights. You've got your heart. Better yet, God's got your heart in His hands, and He's guiding it into His paths. And that's what makes a difference. This is, you know, it's going to be a sad day to see what believers have missed out, those who do not experience that. But more importantly, it glorifies the Lord. God has equipped us and has given us everything that we need to be found faithful in Him. God never asks us to be faithful in our own strength. If that's not happening, if we're not asking God, will we receive it? If you don't know what to ask for, will you ask for it? That's why we need the Word of God. I need to know what to ask for. Now, if you really want to get spiritual, just know this. The Word of God makes it easy, because He's indwelt us with the Spirit, that when we don't know what to ask for, but if we want God, the Spirit will petition in our behalf. He will. Even when we don't know, the Bible tells us that. If you don't know what to ask for, but if you want more of God, just say, Lord, I don't even know where to begin. That's a good place. So I'm asking you, God, to guide me and to show me what you want to reveal to me. So very quickly, here in verse 19. And this is what God wants to do for us. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead? We call that resurrection power. And set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So this is what He wants. This is God's exceeding power, and it's to usward, according to the working of His mighty power that He wants us to experience. That's what He's saying here. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of authority. And hath put, verse 22, and one more verse after this, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, to the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He fills it all. We don't need to give Him anything. In fact, He says, I want to give you everything, if you'll have it, if you'll ask me, if you'll ask me. Why would you ask somebody for something? Because you want it. Because you want it. You think God's people today are really asking God for the things that He wants to give them? We're so distracted. We're so distracted. Isn't that the truth? Not in bad things. Let's give credit that it's good things. But is God really our number one purpose in life above everything else? Or do we get preoccupied and distracted? That'd be a good place to start. Lord, help me not to be distracted. Help me to see that You... Are we not going to look into His face one day? One day, are we not going to see Him? So what's really the greatest value in life? It's Christ. And what He wants to do for us. He's already given us eternal life through salvation. And He says, if you'll seek Me, boy, oh boy, what I want to show you. If you'll believe Me. So tonight, God gives us an invitation. He says, I would like to give you all that I have planned for you. What's your answer? I would like to give you great and mighty things that are beyond this world. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He tapped into what was really important. That's why Paul did some of the crazy things he did, because he believed God. That's why Abraham left what he knew to what he did not know. It's easy to get comfortable and fall into a rut, and then it's hard to get out of that. We get so used to it. And God says, I want to lead you along my way, and just trust me in that and watch what I'll do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great grace, your mercy, your patience and long-suffering with us, Lord, with me. I thank you, oh God, that you never give up on us, Lord. You're always giving us another opportunity to consider our ways and to bring them before you. Lord, we ask that you bless the rest of the time tonight as we break off for prayer. Draw our hearts closer to you and to one another. And Lord, allow us to experience the blessings you have for us. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.